So this morning we're going to continue working out of Ephesians as we talk about our Advent Savior. We'll be focusing on verses 2 and 3 this morning. And this is the second of three parts. Please follow along with me in your Bibles as I read out of Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So, what we were before Christ was we were captive to the prince of the power of the air, and by nature, children of wrath. I mean, what a horrible state we were in. What a horrible place to be. But the neat thing is, God had a plan. God had this wondrous plan. Let me read to you out of the book of Matthew. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So God's plan then was to send Jesus Christ, his son, to come into the world to save people from their sins. How wonderful is that? I mean, that we should be blessed in that way. So the purpose then of having a series of sermons on the Advent Savior for me is I want to make it clear just how greatly everyone needs a Savior and make that apparent to all that will hear about their need. We have a need not only for a great Savior, but only a great Savior can fulfill the need of those who are lost. In verse 1, we see that we need a Savior because we are dead in our sins and trespasses. In verse 2, we need a Savior because without one, we walk according to the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. Without a Savior, an alien prince of this world holds you captive. Lastly, in verse 3, we need a Savior because without one, we are by nature children of wrath. So prior to Christ, we belong to the world, and we know from Scripture the world belongs to Satan. Satan obviously starts with an S, so I thought I would use S to help us look at the plight of unsaved people who and what their problems are. First, if you're not saved, you're sick to the point of spiritual death with your sins. Secondly, if you're unsaved, you've been sabotaged by Satan. And thirdly, if you're unsaved, you're sentenced to hell. Now, for these reasons and others, we desperately need a Savior. Now, the world's certainly not going to tell people that they need a Savior because they're sinners. And quite frankly, many churches won't tell people this either because they're beginning to preach a watered-down gospel meant to appeal to the world. Only in a remnant church will you hear the unfiltered truth of the Bible. Paul says this has been true from the beginning of time when God marked out his people to be separated. He says, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sands of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. The remnant are those who are truly believers, those who have given their lives to Christ. Paul says this condition continues all through now, what we call the church age. The church age is the time between Christ's resurrection and when he returns, his second coming. And Paul speaks to this and he says, so at this present time, this is the church age. So at this present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. See, by God's grace, you were chosen and saved to worship the only true God. So that makes us part of the remnant church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of our church, and really, quite frankly, a fairly small number of churches scattered all over the world who hold fast to the facts, who sometimes the facts and the truth of the Bible are difficult, aren't they? I mean, sometimes there's truths in there we don't really care for because we're fallen. But outside of these remnant churches who hold fast to the Word of God, there's many churches that are beginning to preach watered down Word of God and preach at things that aren't even in the Bible. But here are three basic facts in Scripture that I'd like to talk about. First, without a Savior, all people are spiritually dead and incapable of any spiritual good. Secondly, without a Savior, all people are captured, blinded by evil and the supernatural person named Satan. And third, without a Savior, all people live under the wrath of God and are sentenced to eternal torment in hell. Now, I don't understand what it is about these simple truths that mankind finds so hard to accept, why they work so hard to deny these. I'm sure there are many more reasons than these, but a couple of reasons why mankind works so hard to reject these truths is, first, God's truth is unattractive to unsaved people. I mean, to believe God and believe these truths, and you would have to admit that you're broken and you need a Savior. And people, by their fallen nature, want to always be in charge of their own destiny. Second, these truths need to be learned from God, not from mankind, not from other sources. And without a Savior, there is no spiritual knowledge, no spiritual wisdom in which to discern what are God's truth, what is God's will, and what is of the world. So, salvation must begin with divine revelation. God must reveal these things to people, otherwise we'll perish. Eternal truth is not found in TV shows. They promote what we say is worldly.